This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to it, San Diego. Gwen and Chris. Hour number three here on 97.3 The Fan, Chrisello. Tony Gwynn Jr., champion once again after an outstanding matchup in the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Reynaldo Lopez winds up being the linchpin answer that wins it for Tony Gwynn Jr. and loses it for Matt Scraby.
Just holding my head down right now.
I did check your sheet between break, okay. And you did have his name written down.
I did.
So you had just thought of it that instant,
yep.
And then wrote it down, and then Tony guessed it.
Yep.
And that was the winning guess.
Yeah, that's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to sting for a little bit.
Sorry about that. 35 All-Stars. Now there's a 36th because Hunter Green has been added and replacing the injured Tyler Glass now, who, according to the Scraby Chronicles, is not injured at all. The Dodgers just using a Fugazi trip to the injured list to buy him some rest. And I hate to say I agree with him.
It just
it makes too much sense. It's a guy that's never pitched more than 120 innings. He's already at 109. So strike up the conspiracy music. Glass now goes to the injury list just so he can rest a little bit.
If this was like, I don't know, say September, are we doing this? Probably not, Chris.
Well,
probably not.
I don't know that you're wrong on this one, Scrabe.
I don't know
that you're wrong.
Thank you.
I mean, look, the Dodgers did offer a pretty weak excuse for why he's going on the injured list. He hurt his back playing catch. Like, really? I'm not even an athlete. I don't hurt my back playing catch.
You play catch every week for softball.
Everybody throws a ball around.
Yeah.
You know? You don't throw your back out playing catch.
It is a ridiculous thing to say.
Fugazi.
Fugazi.
Fugazi. Phillies have reactivated Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. So those two sluggers are back for the National League's best team, or at least the one with the best record. Some other baseball news for you on this Tuesday. We gave you a couple things. Rafael Devers out of the All-Star game.
Why?
You didn't hear it the first time. He's got a shoulder problem. So the Red Sox are going to be missing him. And I think that's kind of all I have for you right now. And you know why? Because my computer screen is stuck. So I can't find
it
anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to find a couple of more notes, but my computer screen completely stuck there for a moment.
Oh, yeah, your camera is bugging.
It happens. Phil Maton, remember him?
The
old Padre reliever?
Yeah,
he's going to the Mets.
Oh, great.
They just got him from the Tampa Bay Rays. Yeah, I don't know that immediately turns the Mets into World Series contenders, but it does help them in the bullpen. And we mentioned this earlier, but Guardians 3B Jose Ramirez becomes the sixth to be named a contender in this year's Home Run Derby. The Derby. Which is on Monday in Major League Baseball. All right, Padres and Mariners coming up 6:30 this evening. Logan Gilbert, speaking of All-Stars, he would have been an answer had we been looking at American League All-Stars. He'll be pitching against a Padres young right-hander, Adam Mazur, tonight out at the ballpark. Pre-game show with Sam Levitt. 5:30 following our show.
Oh my gosh, Chris, did you hear? You didn't hear this. So last Wednesday, after we did our show,
right?
Because you were done. You were on to your weekend.
I was.
I absentmindedly took the laptop charger from here and put it in my bag, and I get a text from our guy Nick DiNucci, like 20 minutes later. Hey man, do you know where the laptop charger is? And I'm like,
because you got to have that.
It says, do not move.
Do not move. What part of that did you not understand when you moved it?
No, it wasn't showing. If this was showing, I would have not taken it.
Oh, the other side was turned up.
Apparently, I kicked Sam Levitt off of the YouTube because I took the charger and the computer died. And Sam, to his credit, has never said anything to me about this. It's the listeners that have told me all about this. And I feel really bad still.
So you torpedoed his pregame show last week?
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Well done.
And I know how serious Sam gets.
So. Well, he also does an outstanding job, and he'll put that to the test this afternoon when he pregames the Padre-Mariner showdown for tonight. I believe it'll be Jesse and Scan on the radio call tonight. I'm only saying that because Tony told us he'll be on TV this evening.
One last thing about that story. So I had to turn around, but I was already on the freeway. It was Wednesday.
Before 4th of July.
And I was about 10 miles away. It took me...
You turned around and brought it back?
I had to. They had no chargers here.
Wow.
And it was one of the most frustrating things because it was all my fault. I could only blame myself.
Yep.
All right.
As long as you look in the mirror. All right. With all of that, as a lead-in, I'll remind you that before the show is over today, you're going to have a chance to win a pair of Padre tickets to tomorrow's game against the Mariners. First 40,000 fans tomorrow will receive Padre throwback hats celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 World Series team. Get tickets at padres.com/tickets. That's later. Right now, it's Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, chance for you to be qualified to win a trip to the Rio, Las Vegas, including a two-night stay, dinner for two, day bed at the Rio Pool. The Rio is back, baby.
Back, baby.
New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new swimming pools, ooh, and a brand new food hall. It's all ready for you now and ready for your next Vegas escape. Beyond the expected, beyond the strip, beyond your wildest dreams, Rio, Las Vegas, the rhythm of Vegas. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. While you're there, go see Penn and Teller. Because I love Penn and Teller.
Every time you say the rhythm, I always think, rhythm's gonna get
you. Or Stefan coming in.
Yes.
Out of nowhere.
You said the rhythm, and that's my brain.
That's your rhythm. That's your rhythm reference.
Right. You have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before the first question. You will get that one for free. Let's
very
go
good
to our first contestant. It will be Bill in San Diego. Bill, hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good, sir. Pretty good.
Here we go. We're going to get into it. Question number one. In 2014, at the age of 26, which Dodger became the youngest pitcher to win his third career Cy Young Award?
Kershaw.
Kershaw is correct.
Very good. Kershaw?
Yes.
Three Cy Youngs. Does he have a fourth?
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know if he does, actually.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Move on with the game.
Here we go. Question number two, Bill. There are only two Padres players who have had a season with the Padres with an OPS over 1,000. Name both.
In the history of the team?
In the history of the team. Only two guys have done it in an entire season.
Oh, goodness. I'll go Caminiti and Bond.
Interesting guess. Might be right.
Who is this? Oh, Vaughn. I thought you said Bonds. I'm like, he doesn't play for the Padres.
Could have been Bonds.
All right. Stay there, Bill. Stay there.
Okay. OPS over 1,000.
Yes, for a season.
Only two Padres have ever done it. I thought Greg Vaughn was a really good guess, and I thought Caminiti was a really good guess. So I got to go with, you know, one of those two, and I'm going to just, for the hell of it, go with Tony as another, and I'll say Tony Gwynn and Ken Caminiti.
I'm sorry, Bill.
Too bad.
I'm so sorry.
When did Tony make it? Was it the 391 year?
I would have to go.
I'll look it up.
Okay, you got a lot going on over there.
Kershaw's got three Cy Youngs. Okay. I looked that up, so he doesn't have a fourth. And I'll look Tony up real quick while you move on to the next contestant.
We're going to go to Luke in San Diego.
Tony's OPS over 1,000 was in 94, the year he hit 394.
Okay. Luke, how are you? Luke, you got to turn down that radio, please.
Turn the radio down, Luke. Oh, you're way
behind. Luke's going to hear in a second me calling him on.
Turn the radio down. It's the first job of a sports radio caller.
But I should add that to our rules. Keep your radio down.
Yeah, maybe you should mention that next time.
Here we go to our next contestant.
Yeah, Luke. Luke, you just lost out.
He's going to be like, oh, that's me.
No, you're not there anymore.
Emilio.
Hey, Emilio.
Emilio's here.
All right, Emilio. Boy, Emilio, way to go.
Here we go. Question number one.
Yes.
Former college basketball player Zach Edey played for Purdue, but was drafted by which NBA team?
Tricky. Could be tricky.
What was the name?
Zach Edey.
He's like two-time college player of the year.
He's like 9 feet
tall. Oh, yeah. I always get the basketball question. I'm going to go with the 76ers.
Emilio's not a basketball guy, obviously.
Sorry, Emilio.
Sorry about that, Emilio. Made his debut last night for the Memphis Grizzlies and had a double-double.
Sorry about that, Emilio.
So he did well in the summer league.
I'm going to remember to not ask Emilio a basketball question.
Yes, if you recall Emilio, don't go basketball on him.
Oh, Emilio hung up on himself. Wow. Emilio, if you're still listening, just tell us next time. I promised I wouldn't give you a basketball question.
We wouldn't do it on purpose, Emilio. It's always the luck of the draw.
It is. It really is. Did you say something about his tip-in last night?
No, but it tied the game in the final seconds.
There was 0.8 seconds left.
And then they ended up losing. There was a couple free throws.
Team ended up losing. But Zach Edey just goes out of nowhere with his long arms and just tips it back in.
Saved the day. Game. He was heroic there for a moment.
Yeah, they say that his debut was very strong.
You know, what's funny is I was kind of originally rooting against Zach Edey to do well in the pros. Now I'm really rooting for him to do well in the pros because I kind of want some sort of semblance of an inside game. I don't like what the Celtics have done to basketball.
Somehow this got back to the Celtics.
Yes, it did. I don't like chucking up 83 pointers a game and that winning you a championship. But it did, so I mean, I have to like it.
All right, let's try Luke again.
Hey, you're going to take another shot.
I feel good.
Hello?
Luke, are you there? Attaboy, Luke. Get your radio down and you're good to go.
Yes, can you hear us?
Yep.
All right, he's good
Luke.
To go.
All right.
Here we go, Luke.
I think, Luke, is there anything you need to tell me?
I might not be the best at basketball, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay. All right. I was going to say something else, but here we go.
Also, it is my first time.
That's what Scraby was hinting at. So you are a first-time player. You go right to Category 2.
Yes.
Or less Level 2.
What no longer standing MLB stadium has hosted the most All-Star games in Major League history?
Woo.
Shoot.
Thank you for saying that word.
That was good, Luke.
I'm going to say the Polo Grounds.
I have no idea. I love the Polo Grounds.
You like it because you play it in the MLB ESPN show. Thing. No longer standing. That's a good one. It's a good one, Scraby. Stay there, Luke, because I think you got a good chance to move on. I don't know why it keeps popping into my head, but I only remember one All-Star game there. Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
Wow, Luke, okay. Good for you. What is it?
Old Yankee Stadium.
Oh, Old Yankee. That was kind of a tricky one. Kind of a tricky one.
Hey,
but
I gave you
like
the hint of no longer standing.
No, that was good. I actually thought of no Yankee Stadium, Old Yankee, and I didn't dismissed it.
I will give Brandon on the chat credit because he typed that before he had time to look that up. So
good
Brandon,
for you, Brandon.
Good job. All right, here we go, Luke. Question number three. You get this right or Chris gets it wrong, you're qualified for Las Vegas. The last All-Star game to have a leadoff home run happened in 2015. Who was the batter?
Oh, man. 2015 leadoff.
I'm a Tigers fan.
I'm thinking back in 2015, maybe he was there. Austin Jackson. Random name.
That is a random name. Also kind of weird that you said Tiger Stadium. He's a Tigers fan.
It was a leadoff home run.
Last All-Star game to have a leadoff home run happened in 2015.
I honestly remember the guy like walking up and hitting a home run, but I just can't think of who it is. Yeah. 2000, I don't know. Julio Rodriguez wasn't even playing yet. At least make a decent guess. Mike Trout.
Wow.
I just threw a name haphazardly out there.
I was already getting the form for you to win.
That is so unlucky, Luke.
That is very
unlucky.
Luke,
you are the unluckiest guy ever.
That is very unlucky.
I just honestly threw a name out there. I had no clue.
Yeah, Mike Trout did.
Oh, he did.
Wow. Huh? Sorry about that,
Luke. That's too bad, Luke.
All right, we got to go tiebreaker, tiebreaker.
Those are the breaks of the game.
Those are the breaks of the game.
I just denied the guy a trip to Las Vegas with a ridiculous pull out of nowhere.
Who should our random athlete be?
Ben Ogilvy.
Wow.
I'm talking, you said random.
Yeah, no, you did.
O-G-I-L-V-I-E.
Okay, I got it.
Former Milwaukee Brewer slugger.
Detroit Tiger and Boston Red Sox.
Right, but he was most famous as a member of Bambi's Bombers.
Their nicknames were on a different level back then.
The 82 Brewers hit a lot of home runs. Their manager was George Bamberger, so they referred to them as Bambi's Bombers. They also called them Harvey's Wallbangers.
I remember you saying that last week.
When they were managed by Harvey Keene. So they had two good nicknames back in those days. Ben Ogilvy was part of that.
All right. Mr. Ogilvy getting a mention today.
Yes.
Let's go to Jason in Marietta. Jason, have you ever played the tiebreaker before?
No, first time player.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, save that for next time. Now, you're still in the game here. Yes. But the next time you call in,
yeah, I'll tell you
for
the
regular part of the game, you'll still be a first-time player.
Yeah, so the rules are this. I'm going to ask Chris a question. He's going to have to give me a number. It's going to be a stat. You guess whether Chris's answer is higher or lower than the actual number.
No.
Gosh, did I mess that up again?
I'll give an answer. You guess whether the real answer is higher or lower.
Sorry about that.
All right? You'll see how it works. Yes. Here we go.
Chris,
give me the question.
I'm just going to go right for it.
Right.
How many home runs did
Ben Ogilvy hit?
16 years.
16-year career, he hit 226 home runs.
Wait, how much?
I said 226 home runs for Ben Ogilvy.
Okay.
The question is, that's not correct. Jason.
Is the actual answer higher or lower
than 226 for Ben Ogilvy's home runs?
I'm going to say lower.
He's going to say lower.
He's right.
He got it. How many did Ben hit?
Say right there, Jason. You were so close. He hit 235.
Oh, wait. So the answer is higher. He got it wrong.
Wait, what did you say?
I said 226.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry about that, Jason. This confused me. I was looking at the clock and seeing how late we are.
It's getting crazy. Give it to Jason.
All right, let's go.
You gave him the prize. Scraby is the screw up of the day. But Jason wins the prize on a crazy edition of Chris versus the Fans. We got to check traffic, though, right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm going to make a false statement. Scraby, you tell me whether the actual answer to this is higher or lower.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Are we going to do this all day?
We're going to try. The time is 4:24 p.m. Nope. Is it actually higher or lower?
I think it's higher, Chris.
It's neither higher nor lower. It's later than 4:24.
Chris is having fun with this.
4:27.
Chris is having fun.
Yeah,
with this.
I know. Well, I tell you one thing. Good for Jason. Was he ecstatic that we gave him the prize?
Yeah, he was pretty excited.
Good luck to him. I hope he wins the trip to Las Vegas. Sorry to the rest of you, but we didn't have a whole lot of time left anyway. Does everybody know what's happening a week from today? Of course you don't. Scraby, you want to take a guess at this?
A week from today is Tuesday, the All-Star game.
Correct. But I'm looking for something better than that.
Training camp? I have no idea.
Rookies report to training camp next Tuesday, July 16th.
Wow.
Yeah.
When is training camp starting?
We're close. Football.
Do, 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 do.
Get me in there.
Do, do.
2 weeks for the veterans to report on
Showtime.
Oh, stop it. Didn't you tell me that he is off now doing WWE stuff?
He's also doing his play-by-play, but he is...
He is so perfect for WWE because he makes everything more exciting than it actually is.
I don't know.
His breathless announcing style will work perfectly for WWE.
I didn't know that Pat McAfee is an announcer for Monday Night Raw. Like, they're thinking
What is Monday Night Raw? That's a wrestling franchise.
Yeah, and then, it's WWE, but they have, like, two different shows. Mm-hmm. And so they have Raw and they have SmackDown, and they're thinking that Joe Tessitore is going to do SmackDown.
Whatever. I honestly can't keep up with all of it. I think we're supposed to talk about sports on this show.
Okay.
That's my argument against talking about WWE stuff.
That is sports, though.
Sure it is.
It's sports entertainment.
Sure it is.
Sports entertainment. Because those guys are some of the most, and gals, are some of the most athletic people on the planet, Chris. Try to do some of the stuff that they do, and you can't.
I don't want to do some of the stuff that they do.
I just looked up all the training camp dates. Do you think the Houston Texans are a little perturbed that the veterans have to be there the same day as the rookies?
Wonder why that is. Everywhere else, the rookies
August
come 7th in first.
Yeah.
By the way, did you hear about the hurricane in Houston? There's a
hurricane. Is it Beryl?
Yes.
Is that the that
something
one?
Like that? Yeah. It's happening. I mean, it's caused some deaths.
It's death bad.
Related.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a very bad hurricane. Tore some of the tiles off the roof at the Houston Texans Stadium, Energy Stadium,
ow,
which has hosted the Super Bowl in the past.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
that's a strong storm, really.
That's another good reason to live in San Diego, where I don't see too many hurricanes charging through town often.
Well, we did have a hurricane watch last year.
I remember that.
And we had it. So upset.
I was so mad because nothing happened. And we were on hurricane watch, and I mean, Lori practically had us lying under a mattress in the bathtub. We were so worried about it.
Wait, you did not.
We didn't do it, but I said she practically had us doing that.
Real quick.
Because we were supposed to be so scared of this hurricane that turned into, like, the sky spitting on us for 2 hours.
Brandon has a great reason as to why the veterans have to come the same day as the rookies. The Texans are in the Hall of Fame game. They're playing on August 1st.
Very good.
Brandon, you're
on it today.
You're scoring today, man.
All right, good job, Brandon. Break time coming up. Short segment there. Little longer one now. When we return, it's the Big Five. Stay tuned. An hour from right now, it's the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt. It's after this program on 97.3 The Fan. Also coming up between now and then, chance for you to win two tickets to tomorrow's game between the Padres and Mariners. Make sure you stay tuned for your opportunity coming up in the next 60 minutes, probably a little, you know, sooner than that. So don't go anywhere. And take a shot. You might get to go to the game tomorrow. We're going to do some Big Five now.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Nice to have Tony back for The Big Five. And we're going to start with something slightly controversial today. And I don't, you know...
Number five.
I don't mean to be sensationalist about this, but I did see a lot of conversation. It's actually all about the Home Run Derby and the selection of Marcell Ozuna. Now, we know the past, but I will explain. Ozuna has been arrested twice before for domestic violence-related offenses. He was reinstated to Major League Baseball after charges were dropped, and he completed a pretrial diversion program for police. I know where you think I'm going, guys. And yes, there are many tentacles that go in the Trevor Bauer direction, but many think Major League Baseball could have avoided any of this conversation just by asking someone else. Tony, should Major League Baseball have asked someone else to participate?
I mean, to me, this doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, he's already an all-star, so it's okay to be an all-star. We just don't want you to be in the Home Run Derby. Like,
That's a good point.
What are you trying to accomplish by not having him there? Because guess what? Come All-Star game, they're going to have the starting lineups, and they're going to actually run out to the starting line or be out on the line, in which his name will be mentioned. So I think this is...
I can't say that I understand it, but what I gather is that they're putting him on a... They're basically like saying, hey, look at this great guy. This is what I'm getting.
That's not what they're doing, though. They're picking contestants for a Home Run Derby. Clearly, not everybody wants to do it, as we know. And so they probably asked guys that said they wanted to do it or were willing to participate. I don't think Major League Baseball is trying to say, hey, this guy is an awesome guy. He's out hitting home runs. I just think they needed somebody or they wanted to take people who wanted to participate.
Chris, should Major League Baseball have asked someone else to participate?
Well, first of all, I'm just thinking of one name in particular, but Josh Hamilton had plenty of demons. Mm. Different demons, but demons nonetheless, and was celebrated as a Home Run Derby participant.
Champion,
several years
right?
ago, champion, etc., all-time record performance. Here's the simple difference between Marcell Ozuna and Trevor Bauer. Marcell Ozuna is deemed by baseball to have done whatever it is necessary for them to welcome him back to the game. He has done whatever he's needed to legally to be a free man and have taken care of whatever responsibilities he had there. And baseball deems him to be eligible to play. Baseball does not deem Trevor Bauer to be eligible to play. And, you know, So as long as that's the case, Marcell Ozuna should be eligible to take part in a contest like this, and Trevor Bauer should continue to stay where he does. And I don't really have a problem with Trevor Bauer staying where he does. I'm a little tired of every single time somebody, you know, I don't know, scratches somebody behind the ears. You know, it's like, oh, we got to let Trevor Bauer back in the game, I guess. You know, no, we don't have to let him back in the game. And, you know, baseball's, I don't know, are we missing him that badly?
To be fair, Major League Baseball hasn't deemed him not worthy of playing. Major League Baseball teams and owners who have said, to this point, no thank you. So, you know, take that for what you will.
Take that for data.
That's right.
I think that's the number one question in my DMs the past week or two is, should the Padres bring in Trevor Bauer? We've already talked about
it. And here's your number one answer.
Okay. Number four. We're going to move on, Chris. I brought this up on the Scraby Show last night and wanted to get your guys' opinion. Apparently, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow and I think alike. He recently said if the NFL goes to an 18-game regular season, he would like to see the NFL institute two bye weeks, with one of those occurring at week 13 for every single team. Then, during that bye week, there would be the Pro Bowl festivities, and it will feel more like the NBA All-Star weekend and all of that. So, Chris, do you think this is a good idea if they go to 18 regular season games?
I think if Joe Burrow didn't already have enough money, he ought to consider running for player commissioner. I think it makes perfect sense. First of all, the two bye weeks, I believe, has been done before in the NFL. Yeah. Even when they had the 16-game schedule, when they added some teams, I believe there was at least one, maybe 2 years, where they played 16 games over 18 weeks. So there's absolutely no reason why you can't have two bye weeks with an 18-game schedule. And I think his idea is very good. The best idea of all, honestly, would be to get rid of the stupid Pro Bowl and all the activities. But, you know, enough people seem to like
it. What about dodgeball, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're speaking for me there, not against me. But
I did enjoy watching those guys go at it.
But I will say this. I like when somebody has a well-thought-out idea and presents it, not just off the cuff, you know, not just, here's what we got to do, and not really think it through. It sounds like Joe Burrow thought it through, and I think he's right.
That's why Joe Burrow and I are alike. Tony, do you think this is a good idea?
I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I think it's well thought out. I think, you know, if you really want to have a Pro Bowl, and I don't know that you could really have a actual football game Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. But if you're going to do it, I think you could stretch it out an extra week. Give it 2 weeks. If you're going to have the 18-game season and you're going to put the Pro Bowl in the middle and celebrate the best players of the first half, I think you should give it 2 weeks. What's the difference, right? It's not like nobody.
So you're saying instead of two separate occasions, it would be one big bye week?
No, I'm saying you keep the bye week.
Okay.
The two bye weeks, right? So I guess it'd end up being three bye weeks.
Ah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
So, but you just combine those two bye weeks together. And you know, now you got a little more downtime for these guys. Not to say that they can't like get back into like some type of camp or whatever it is during that second week, but I think if you really want to have the Pro Bowl, you're going to have to give them more time.
Yeah.
But the only reason that I don't agree with that plan is I can't imagine two Sundays in a row without Scott Hansen. That would be tough.
What if Scott Hansen?
I mean, we do a bunch of Sundays come the off season. I mean,
that's
I'm just saying,
true,
we can add a couple Sundays together so we can stretch out the NFL season.
Yeah, and I don't really have a problem with the NFL season stretching out as long as it can.
I mean, dude,
you know, right now it's only about 28 weeks total. I mean, let's go.
That's
it's
a
national.
Lot.
Let's go 40 weeks. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world.
They're
I want it
about
all the
moving
time.
It back to President's Day weekend, which would be in the February like 20th.
Have the Super Bowl on Easter. I could
on
care
Easter,
less.
The
sure.
Baseball season has started.
Spread it out, baby.
I hate it.
Sure.
I hate it. Just stop eating yourself, NFL. That's what's happening here.
Three.
Speaking of Chris is giving me the eyes, and he's just
allowing
me to move on. Dak Prescott, who has undoubtedly heard the noise regarding the status of his right foot, has decided to provide an update less than 3 weeks before the start of training camp. He was pictured wearing a boot on his foot. And so he said, honestly, I'm getting older. It was the same ankle that I snapped and had a nasty surgery on 4 years ago. So, yeah, a couple hard days of training, you get a little sore. Then you're going on a fishing trip and you want to protect it and make sure things don't get worse. Literally, it is absolutely nothing. People are reaching, trying to make things that they aren't. I'm getting older. I have to take care of my body. I have to be smart. And if I can take precautions and lessen something by putting on a boot, I'm going to do it. Sorry that caused such a whirlwind. End quote. Tony, we sometimes say, or at least I sometimes say, if there's smoke, there is fire. So if there is a boot, is there an injury?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, he's just walking around with boots on to try to help his, so he doesn't hurt himself.
Do they have some type of camp? Is he throwing the football around? I think they were doing something, right?
Yeah, they had like those OTAs and stuff. But he was talking about on fishing trips, he's wearing a boot.
Well, when they send you home from the field and you got like an ankle injury, they usually send you home in a boot, right? So now he's just fishing with the boot. I don't know. This doesn't seem like much of anything other than him wearing a boot during the offseason.
And people now, in Dallas overreacting to every single thing that happens.
This is kind of par for the course. Especially in Dallas. And, like, you know, for Dallas fans' sakes, I understand the overreaction. I mean, nothing goes right for you, so I can see how you'd be a pessimist to everything that, you know, comes your way. So, you know, I think you just chalk this up to Dallas fans being Dallas fans.
All right, Chris, what do you think? If there is a boot, is there an injury?
I don't think so. I think he's just being careful. And frankly, if he's my quarterback, I want him to be careful. So, you know, I mean, hate to see him get hurt doing something he enjoys in the off season.
Right. If I mean, everybody's cool to be in bubble wrap. They should be in bubble wrap during the time.
I mean, these quarterbacks should walk around just at home in bubble wrap.
Right.
You know, I mean, who was the guy that sliced his finger cutting?
Oh yeah,
cutting
a burger,
cutting open something. A burger.
I think it was
yeah.
a Padre, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's happened, right? So yeah. The overreaction is absurd. I think Tua Tagovailoa put on 1 pound. Or at least it was reported that he put on 1 pound, and
literally,
that was pretty much him being run out of Miami in a lot of people's minds. You know, the great thing about the NFL is that we care about it. The worst thing about the NFL is that we care too much
about
the wrong things.
You know, guys, in about 6 months, I'm just going to start wearing my sling for my shoulder.
Wear
again.
It! Yeah. If you're going to feel more comfortable, God love it. As long as you can push the buttons.
I can push the buttons,
all
Chris.
Right.
Number two. Now, Novak Djokovic easily beat 15th-seeded, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, Holger Rune.
Okay.
He says okay.
Yeah, that's it.
6-3, 6-4, 6-2 in just over 2 hours Monday night to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals. Then made sure to get the message across to those fans he thought were against him. Rune's supporters at various tournaments often will say his name is Rune. Which can be misconstrued as boo, and that.
Scary, I gotta tell you, dude, I was about to like talk trash to you after your comment about the shoulder sling and you being able to push buttons.
Yeah,
and this is a good example, ladies and gentlemen, why, you know, don't say the first thing that comes to your mind.
What did I do?
I had only looked at like our 215 spot and you know some of the spots from earlier today that weren't filled out. And then I kind of gradually scrolled down before I opened my mouth and saw all of this the button pushing you have been doing towards the bottom of it. And, you know, I'm glad I caught myself because you would have had the right to scream on me right there.
You were saying you were going to bring up that I didn't fill in anything.
Yes, he restrained himself. He's talking about the a quality move of restraint.
I see.
There.
Okay, I like it. But what about at 2 o'clock it says... Vetter Cup begins. That was my big note.
Yeah, that was your big note. We went over that already.
With today, if we're going to go in this direction for a second, the problem with today is Chris and I just talked about everything from over the weekend yesterday, and they haven't played another game.
Today's the beginning of the week. Beginning of the week for me.
Yeah. You know? So this is all fresh for you. For us, we've beat this into the ground a little bit. All right. So Novak Djokovic. They said it was boo. That happened yesterday. He actually had a message to his fans in his post-match interview. And here is what he said. And I had to cut it down because it was very long.
And to all those people that have chosen to disrespect the player, in this case me, have a good night. Good night. Good night. Very good night. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they were just... commenting on Runa and that they weren't disrespecting you.
They were. I don't accept it. No. I know they were cheering for Rune, but that's an excuse to also boo. I've been on the tour for more than 20 years, so trust me, I know all the tricks. I know how it works. It's fine. It's okay. I focus on the respectful people that have respect, that pay the ticket to come and watch tonight, and love tennis, and appreciate the players and the effort that the players put in here. I played in much more hostile environment, trust me. You guys can't touch me.
So there's what he said.
Very good, Novak.
He is considered a sports villain.
A little bit.
I think that was pretty hilarious and great. Chris, do you consider Novak Djokovic a sports villain?
No, I just consider him a little polarizing. I didn't agree with all of the stances he's taken. But you know what? He believes in certain things, and that's his right to believe in certain things. And it's also the fans' right to root against him. You know, I mean, I don't think tennis fans have to go into the stadium and root for both players all the time. I think by and large, people respect Djokovic and his amazing play. If he felt like he was being booed a little bit, he's probably right. He might have been being booed a little bit, and he got the last laugh in on them. I think that was pretty creative by him. That's right. That was good.
Tony, do you consider Novak Djokovic a sports villain?
No, he's just an ass. I'm not like him? I'm not a fan of his at all. I mean, first of all, at this point, I'm 42 years old. I'll be 42 years old. Wait, what is it? 20? Yeah, I'll be 42 in October. And I'm old enough to know that, you know, fans, if you have a name that is kind of in the boo, doesn't mean that fans are actually booing you. And if I don't know the gentleman that he played, and Chris, you would know more than me. I just felt like, why are you, if it doesn't really bother you and they can't really touch you, you used, I don't know, what, 5 minutes of your post-game interview to address it for some reason that it didn't bother you at all, and, you know, you've been in much more hostile environments, yet you took the time to have this conversation after the thing. So clearly it did bother you. And I think he's a little soft because it bothered him, quite frankly. Like,
interesting.
You're a professional athlete. You should be able to handle, you know, especially, let me rephrase, when you're a great like him, you're going to walk into places where people want you to lose. Can we go through the list of greats that have had to go through that? I mean, every guy in basketball, every guy in baseball, you know, when Manny goes to the plate at any other posing spot, he gets booed. It's a sign of respect, isn't it? They don't boo.
I have heard that before.
They don't boo like regular dudes out there.
That's true.
I just take issue with him saying that he wasn't bothered by it, but clearly was bothered by it.
I just want to say
he's not a villain, though.
Okay.
I just want to say that when I say something and hit the mark, Tony often says, I should have said what Chris said. On this one, I want to jump in and say, I should have said what Tony said, because I think he hit it right on the mark.
You're right. It's the psychology of, if it doesn't bother you, then why are you taking the time to address it?
Yeah, he should be too good for all this stuff.
That's my point. Like, he's literally one of the greatest to ever play tennis. And yet, this isn't the first time he's taken issue, by the way, with fans and using his post-game interviews to address it. I think this is like the second or third time that I can remember. And it's just like, I don't know. I can't remember. Give me a great.
Federer?
Just any. Federer. Can't remember. Well, he seemed like he was beloved. There are some great.
he was beloved.
What about like?
I'm saying any great that the sides from the Roger Federers or the Tony Gwynns, mostly all of them all get booed and, you know, have to deal with it at some point.
It's true.
And I don't think I remember anybody like addressing the boos in their post game comments. Like, you know, it's just, you know, I'm out here. Like, I can't think of LeBron or Michael or Wayne Gretzky or anybody addressing boos after their game. I don't know.
That would be like, because the Padres got booed earlier in the year. That would be like one of the Padres grabbing the mic and being like, stop booing us. Like, what are you doing?
Right. What will we be talking about the next day?
We'd be like, why would you ever grab the mic and say that? That is true. I didn't think about it like
I'm just like, I don't know. He seemed a little sensitive in this scenario.
Maybe he's working on his stand-up comedian career, because that was pretty funny.
But that was
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Nice to have Tony back for The Big Five. And we're going to start with something slightly controversial today. And I don't, you know...
Number five.
I don't mean to be sensationalist about this, but I did see a lot of conversation. It's actually all about the Home Run Derby and the selection of Marcell Ozuna. Now, we know the past, but I will explain. Ozuna has been arrested twice before for domestic violence-related offenses. He was reinstated to Major League Baseball after charges were dropped, and he completed a pretrial diversion program for police. I know where you think I'm going, guys. And yes, there are many tentacles that go in the Trevor Bauer direction, but many think Major League Baseball could have avoided any of this conversation just by asking someone else. Tony, should Major League Baseball have asked someone else to participate?
I mean, to me, this doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, he's already an all-star, so it's okay to be an all-star. We just don't want you to be in the Home Run Derby. Like, I don't...
That's a good point.
What are you trying to accomplish by not having him there? Because guess what? Come All-Star game, they're going to have the starting lineups, and they're going to actually run out to the starting line or be out on the line, in which his name will be mentioned. So I think this is...
I can't say that I understand it, but what I gather is that they're putting him on a... They're basically like saying, hey, look at this great guy. This is what
that's
I'm getting.
Not, that's not what they're doing, though. They're picking contestants for a Home Run Derby. Clearly, they not everybody wants to do it, as we know. And so they probably asked guys that said they wanted to do it or were willing to participate. I don't think Major League Baseball is trying to say, hey, this guy is an awesome guy. He's out hitting home runs. I just think they needed somebody or they wanted to take people who wanted to participate.
Chris, should Major League Baseball have asked someone else to participate?
Well, first of all, I'm just thinking of one name in particular, but Josh Hamilton had plenty of demons. Mm. Different demons, but demons nonetheless. and was celebrated as a home run derby participant champion, several years ago. Champion, etc. All-time record performance. Here's the simple difference between Marcell Ozuna and Trevor Bauer. Marcell Ozuna is deemed by baseball to have done whatever it is necessary for them to welcome him back to the game. He has done whatever he's needed to legally to be a free man and have taken care of whatever responsibilities he had there. And baseball deems him to be eligible to play. Baseball does not deem Trevor Bauer to be eligible to play. And, you know, so as long as that's the case, Marcell Ozuna should be eligible to take part in a contest like this, and Trevor Bauer should continue to stay where he does. And I don't really have a problem with Trevor Bauer staying where he does. I'm a little tired of every single time somebody, scratches somebody behind the ears. You know, it's like, we got to let Trevor Bauer back in the game, I guess. No, we don't have to let him back in the game. And, baseball's, are we missing him that badly?
To be fair, Major League Baseball hasn't deemed him not worthy of playing. Major League Baseball teams and owners who have said, to this point, no thank you. So, take that for what you will.
Take that for data.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's the number one question in my DMs the past week or two is, should the Padres bring in Trevor Bauer? We've already talked about
it. And here's your number one answer.
Okay. Number four. We're going to move on, Chris. We're going to move on. I brought this up on the Scraby Show last night and wanted to get your guys' opinion. Apparently, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow and I think alike. He recently said if the NFL goes to an 18-game regular season, he would like to see the NFL institute two bye weeks, with one of those occurring at week 13 for every single team. Then, during that bye week, there would be the Pro Bowl festivities, and it will feel more like the NBA All-Star Weekend and all of that. So, Chris, do you think this is a good idea if they go to 18 regular season games?
I think if Joe Burrow didn't already have enough money, he ought to consider running for player commissioner. I think it makes perfect sense. First of all, the two bye weeks, I believe, has been done before in the NFL. Yeah. Even when they had the 16-game schedule, when they added some teams, I believe there was at least one, maybe 2 years, where they played 16 games over 18 weeks. So there's absolutely no reason why you can't have two bye weeks with an 18-game schedule. And I think his idea is very good. The best idea of all, honestly, would be to get rid of the stupid Pro Bowl and all the activities. But, enough people seem
to
like
dodgeball, it. What about dodgeball, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're speaking for me there, not against me. But
I did enjoy watching those guys go at it.
But I will say this. I like when somebody has a well-thought-out idea and presents it, not just off the cuff, not just, here's what we got to do, and not really think it through. It sounds like Joe Burrow thought it through, and I think he's right.
That's why Joe Burrow and I are alike. Tony, do you think this is a good idea?
I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I think it's well thought out. I think, if you really want to have a Pro Bowl, and I don't know that you could really have a actual football game Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. But if you're going to do it, I think you could stretch it out an extra week. Give it 2 weeks. If you're going to have the 18-game season and you're going to put the Pro Bowl in the middle and celebrate the best players of the first half, I think you should give it 2 weeks. What's the difference, right? It's not like nobody.
So you're saying instead of two separate occasions, it would be one big bye week?
No, I'm saying you keep the bye week.
Okay.
The two bye weeks, right? So I guess it'd be end up being three bye weeks.
Ah, okay.
So, but you just combine those two bye weeks together. And now you got a little more downtime for these guys. Not to say that they can't get back into some type of camp or whatever it is during that second week, but I think if you really want to have the Pro Bowl, you're going to have to give them more time.
Yeah.
But the only reason that I don't agree with that plan is I can't imagine two Sundays in a row without Scott Hansen. That would be tough.
What if Scott Hansen...
I mean, we do a bunch of Sundays come the off season. I mean,
that's
I'm just saying,
true,
we can add a couple Sundays together so we can stretch out the NFL season.
Yeah, and I don't really have a problem with the NFL season stretching out as long as it can.
I mean, dude,
right now it's only about 28 weeks total. I mean, let's go.
That's
it's the national. Let's go 40 weeks. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. I want it all the time.
Moving it back to President's Day weekend, which would be in the February, like, 20th.
Have the Super Bowl on Easter. I could
on
care
Easter,
less.
The sure. Baseball season has started.
Spread it out, baby.
I hate it.
Sure.
Hate it. Just stop eating yourself, NFL. That's what's happening here.
Number three.
Speaking of the Chris is giving me the eyes, and he's just going to allow me to move on. Dak Prescott, who has undoubtedly heard the noise regarding the status of his right foot, has decided to provide an update less than 3 weeks before the start of training camp. He was pictured wearing a boot on his foot, and so he said, honestly, I'm getting older. It was the same ankle that I snapped and had a nasty surgery on 4 years ago. So yeah, a couple hard days of training, you get a little sore. Then you're going on a fishing trip, and you want to protect it and make sure things don't get worse. Literally, it is absolutely nothing. People are reaching, trying to make things that they aren't. I'm getting older, have to take care of my body, I have to be smart, and if I can take precautions and lessen something by putting on a boot, I'm going to do it. Sorry that caused such a whirlwind, end quote. Tony, we sometimes say, or at least I sometimes say, if there's smoke, there is fire, so if there is a boot, is there an injury?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, he's just walking around with boots on to try to help his, so he doesn't hurt himself?
Do they have some type of camp? Is he throwing the football around? I think they were doing something, right?
Yeah, they had like those OTAs and stuff. But he was talking about on fishing trips, he's wearing a boot.
Well, when they send you home from the field and you got like an ankle injury, they usually send you home in a boot, right? So now he's just fishing with the boot. I don't know. This doesn't seem like much of anything other than him wearing a boot during the offseason.
And people now, in Dallas overreacting to every single thing that happens.
This is kind of par for the course. Especially in Dallas. And, like, you know, for Dallas fans' sakes, I understand the overreaction. I mean, nothing goes right for you, so I can see how you'd be a pessimist to everything that, you know, comes your way. So, you know, I think you just chalk this up to Dallas fans being Dallas fans.
All right, Chris, what do you think? If there is a boot, is there an injury?
I don't think so. I think he's just being careful. And frankly, if he's my quarterback, I want him to be careful. So, you know, I mean, hate to see him get hurt doing something he enjoys in the offseason.
Right. If everybody's being bubble wrap, they should be in bubble wrap during the time.
I mean, these quarterbacks should walk around just at home in bubble wrap.
Right.
You know, I mean, who was the guy that sliced his finger cutting?
Oh yeah,
cutting
a burger,
cutting open something. A burger.
I think it was
a
Padre, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's happened, right? So yeah. The overreaction is absurd. I think Tua Tagovailoa put on 1 pound. Or at least it was reported that he put on 1 pound, and
literally
that was pretty much him being run out of Miami in a lot of people's minds. The great thing about the NFL is that we care about it. The worst thing about the NFL is that we care too much about the wrong things.
You know, guys, in about 6 months, I'm just going to start wearing my sling for my shoulder.
Wear
again.
It! Yeah. If you're going to feel more comfortable, God love it. As long as you can push the buttons.
I can push the buttons,
all
Chris.
Right.
Number two.
Now, Novak Djokovic easily beat 15th seeded, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, Holger Rune.
Okay.
He says okay.
Yeah, that's it.
6-3, 6-4, 6-2 in just over 2 hours Monday night to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals. Then made sure to get the message across to those fans he thought were against him. Rune's supporters at various tournaments often will say his name is Rune. Which can be misconstrued as boo. And that
I gotta tell you, dude, I was about to like talk trash to you after your comment about the shoulder sling and you being able to push buttons.
Yeah.
And this is a good example, ladies and gentlemen, why, you know, don't say the first thing that comes to your mind.
What did I do?
I had only looked at like our 215 spot and, you know, some of the spots from earlier today that weren't filled out. And then I kind of gradually scrolled down before I opened my mouth and saw all of this the button pushing you have been doing towards the bottom of it. And, you know, I'm glad I caught myself because you would have had the right to scream on me right there.
You were saying you were going to bring up that I didn't fill in anything.
Yes, he restrained himself. He's talking about the a quality move of restraint.
I see.
There.
Okay, I like it. But what about at 2 o'clock it says Vetter Cup begins. That was my big note.
Yeah, that was your big note. We went over that already.
With today, if we're going to go in this direction for a second, the problem with today is Chris and I just talked about everything from over the weekend yesterday, and they haven't played another game.
Yeah. Today's the beginning of the week. Beginning of the week for me.
Yeah. You know, so this is all fresh for you. For us, we've beat this into the ground a little bit. All right. So Novak Djokovic, they said it was boo. That happened yesterday. He actually had a message to his fans in his post-match interview, and here is what he said. And I had to cut it down because it was very long.
And to all those people that have chosen to disrespect the player, in this case me, have a good night. Good night. Good night. Very good night. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they were just commenting on Rune and that they weren't disrespecting you.
They were. I don't accept it. No. I know they were cheering for Rune, but that's an excuse to also boo. I've been on the tour for more than 20 years, so trust me, I know all the tricks. I know how it works. It's fine. It's okay. I focus on the respectful people that have respect, that pay the ticket to come and watch tonight, and love tennis, and appreciate the players and the effort that the players put in here. I played in much more hostile environment. Trust me. You guys can't touch me.
So there's what he said.
Very good, Novak.
He is considered a sports villain.
A little bit.
I think that was pretty hilarious and great. Chris, do you consider Novak Djokovic a sports villain?
No, I just consider him a little polarizing. I didn't agree with all of the stances he's taken. But you know what? He believes in certain things, and that's his right to believe in certain things. And it's also the fans' right to root against them. You know, I mean, I don't think tennis fans have to go into the stadium and root for both players all the time. I think by and large, people respect Djokovic and his amazing play. He felt like he was being booed a little bit. He's probably right. He might have been being booed a little bit, and he got the last laugh in on them. I think that was pretty creative by him. That's right.
Nice.
That was good.
Tony, do you consider Novak Djokovic a sports villain?
No, he's just an ass. I'm not like him? I'm not a fan of his at all. I mean, first of all, at this point, I'm 42 years old. I'll be 42 years old. Right? What is it? 20? Yeah, I'll be 42 in October. I'll be in October. And I'm old enough to know that, you know, fans, if you have a name that is kind of in the boo, doesn't mean that fans are actually booing you. And if I don't know the gentleman that he played, and Chris, you would know more than me. I just felt like, why are you, if it doesn't really bother you and they can't really touch you, you use, I don't know, what, 5 minutes of your post-game interview to address it?
That's great.
For some reason that it didn't bother you at all, and, you know, you've been in much more hostile environments, yet you took the time to have this conversation after the thing. So clearly it did bother you. And I think he's a little soft because it bothered him, quite frankly. Like, you're a professional athlete. You should be able to handle, you know, especially, let me rephrase it. When you're a great like him, you're going to walk into places where people want you to lose. Can we go through the list of greats that have had to go through that? I mean, every guy in basketball, every guy in baseball, you know, when Manny goes to the plate at any other posing spot, he gets booed. It's a sign of respect, isn't it? They don't boo.
I have heard that before.
They don't boo like regular dudes out there.
That's true.
I just take issue with him saying that he wasn't bothered by it, but clearly was bothered by it.
I just want to say
he's not a villain, though.
Okay.
I just want to say that when I say something and hit the mark, Tony often says, I should have said what Chris said. On this one, I want to jump in and say, I should have said what Tony said, because I think he hit it right on the mark.
You're right. It's the psychology of, if it doesn't bother you, then why are you taking the time to address it?
Yeah, he should be too good for all this stuff.
That's my point. Like, he's literally one of the greatest to ever play tennis. And yet, this isn't the first time he's taken issue, by the way, with fans and using his post-game interviews to address it. I think this is like the second or third time that I can remember. And it's just like, I don't know. I can't remember. Give me a great.
Federer?
Federer. Can't remember. Well, he seemed like he was beloved. There are some great.
He was beloved.
What about like?
I'm saying any great that the sides from the Roger Federers or the Tony Gwynns. mostly all of them all get booed and, you know, have to deal with it at some point.
It's true.
And I don't think I remember anybody, like, addressing the boos in their post-game comments. Like, you know, it's just, you know, I'm out here. Like, I can't think of LeBron or Michael or Wayne Gretzky or anybody addressing boos after their game. I don't know.
That would be like, because the Padres get booed or got booed earlier in the year, that would be like one of the Padres grabbing the mic and being like, stop booing us. Like, what are you doing?
Right. What will we be talking about the next
week? We'd be like, why would he ever grab the mic and say that? That is true. I didn't think about it like
I'm
that.
I'm just like, I don't know. He seemed a little sensitive in this scenario.
Maybe he's working on his stand-up comedian career, because that was pretty funny.
But that was the other thing. And maybe it gets lost in translation, right? Because the boo part was actually funny. And like it didn't seem to fit with the kind of disrespect comment that he gave just before that.
Yeah, then he went down the dark path.
Right. You know, it seemed like it was, I couldn't tell in earlier in it if he was like joking, upset.
He did have some sort of smile while he was saying
but
it.
But then at the end, he seemed like he was a little bit upset.
His next opponent is a guy by the name of Alex Demonar. So I don't believe there'll be any confusion this time. If they're booing him, they're going to definitely be booing him. So he'll know.
Number one. All right, so this was my daily gripe last night, and I want to get your guys' thoughts. You put yourself in this situation. You're in a store where you need to go to a cashier before you leave to pay, like a convenience store or a grocery store, whatever. You get to said cashier, and the cashier doesn't look up to you or at you and acknowledge you are ready to pay. So you're just kind of standing there awkwardly. Tony, how long would you wait before you say something to a cashier that's not recognizing you?
That's a good question. Because I have been in this situation before, and I waited. I felt like forever, and I never said anything. And eventually, said cashier looked up. I mean, when you think about it, this is going to sound short, but it's actually a long time. I'd say like 45 seconds.
Oh, no, wow, that's an eternity.
That's an eternity.
That's an eternity. Right.
Wow, 4 or 5 seconds. You meant 4 or 5 seconds,
yeah, not
45. Yeah.
I was going to say 30, but I thought that was too small, too short. So I went 45. Probably more like 30 seconds. Like, I would wait, like, with like a little smirk on my face for a little bit. Like,
would you go,
is he or she going to ever...
Can't you just throw the money on the counter and make a little noise?
No, I won't.
Oh, yeah, put your stuff on the counter. Like.
I might make, you know, the courtesy fake cough.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Or you know, like, you know, if you got the stuff, like, kind of.
What was the cashier doing when you went up to them?
On their phone.
On their phone.
No, I didn't put that part of it because, you know, there's other cashiers that are, like, reading the newspaper or something.
Can I just tell you that today when we were golfing at Mission Bay, there was a young lady in the fairway in the hole ahead of us on her phone.
Was she checking yardages?
No, she was talking to somebody on her phone while her playing partners were already up on the green. She was standing in the fairway talking on the phone, then put the phone away and hit her shot.
Chris, we'll devote 30 minutes to that tomorrow.
We could devote an hour to that.
I'm talking about the cashier. Tony says 45 seconds, which I think is a pretty
good... I'm revising it to 30.
Oh, okay, 30. Chris?
4 to 5. Don't have time for this.
What would you do? Would you be like, hey?
I'm already tired of waiting behind the slow guy who can't fish out his money or is having trouble remembering his code that he punches into the computer. So I'm already frustrated
and
angry.
You're not doing that. Like, you walk up.
You're the first guy up there, is what you're saying.
This is why they're not paying attention, because no one was in line before you.
Yeah. I'm not waiting around.
As a guy who worked at a bank, there's something that drives me insane about people that come up to the window without me calling them. Because you know what?
You seem like that guy. Oh, my gosh.
You know, I have thousands of dollars in cash sitting right in front of me that I'm trying to sort. You can't come over because it's a security
hazard. You always have thousands of dollars in cash. You just want to have the power to be like, nope, not yet.
Yes, do you know what?
Okay, come on, I'm ready for you.
Next.
You know what I hate more about the bank guy that sits behind there and counts his money while I'm standing there? The thing I hate more is the bank guy who looks up at me and then closes his window before I can walk up.
Love doing that.
Yeah, no wonder I couldn't stand any bank people, and I don't go to the bank anymore
because of
it.
I would help people who were in front of the line and they looked at me and they didn't come forward, and I would help them one last time.
You're giving all bank tellers a bad name right now.
I think bank tellers are kind of in my corner. If you're a bank teller,
you are.
If you're a bank teller and you are like me, because I know there's lots of people out
there. What kind of person looks up? up at a customer who's been standing there for 45 minutes, looks at them, and then politely closes their little window right on you. Come
Scraby
on.
No, no, no. Is,
what's the matter with
Scraby
these people?
Is so the guy that, like, is, like, fish-eyeing you while he's pretending to look down and do something busy to make sure you're not walking to his line before he calls you over. So he could be like, excuse me, could you please wait till I call you in?
No, it's, yeah, you're right, yeah. It's
you're like, power-hungry, Scraby, you're power-hungry.
No, when I go on lunch, I click the thing and I roll the window out and I look over. I said, someone will be right with you.
Sure you do.
And I walk away.
What a jerk.
I'm glad you got this guy on his phone at the convenience store.
Yeah.
You deserved it.
I just threw my items on the counter. No, I'm just kidding. All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we'll get you set for this game between the Mariners and the Padres tonight here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.